Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is John Hunter Nemechek from Nemco Motorsports, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the March 16th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 103 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will review this past weekend of racing and chat about whatever other exciting news of the world of modern motorsports pops up into the conversation. Last weekend was definitely a true race fan's dream come true, with tons of on- and off-track action. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention the altercation between Kyle Busch and Joey Logano, as well as his pit crew, and we'll get into that a little bit later. We'd also like to congratulate all the winners from the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. You can read more about both of these at SpeedwayDigest.com.
Our first guest tonight is Robbie Foley. Monza Global MX5 Cup driver Robbie Foley will join Britt Casey Jr. in the number 27 Freedom Autosport Trump Mazda MX5 for Friday's IMSA Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge event at Sebring Raceway. Although Daytona was Foley's debut in the Continental Tire Series, he is already an accomplished Mazda racer. The 20-year-old was a Mazda scholarship driver in 2016, and his season in the Mazda Global MX5 Cup Series included 3 wins. Foley was also a race winner at the inaugural Mazda Global MX5 Cup Invitational at Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca.
Foley hails from Randolph, New Jersey, and is currently studying mechanical engineering at Auburn University in Alabama. Foley was a football and baseball player in high school, but a severe leg injury in 2010, including torn muscles, broken bones, and nerve damage, turned his goals back to his childhood passion, motorsports. Now, Foley races with the help of an OSSUR, O-S-S-U-R, brace that helps stabilize his ankle. We are now pleased to welcome Robbie Foley into the Thunderdome. So how you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good.
Good. How you guys doing? Sitting in the media center here at Sebring. So.
Awesome. So how was Daytona?
It was good overall. It was a lot of new things for me. New car, new tire, new series. I'd never been to Daytona before, so I had a lot to learn, but had some good teammates around me and was able to pick it up pretty quick. And we did reasonably well in the race. Honestly, the team's best finish in a while. We put 3 Mazdas in the top 10 overall in ST, which is really strong for us at that track. It's probably our most difficult track, but we could work together in the draft and things like that and really put together a strong showing in the race, which gives us some good momentum heading into Sebring.
What lessons will you bring from Daytona that will help you race in Sebring tomorrow?
More or less just some experience in the car and in the series. I got a little bit of a flavor for how the traffic works and things like that. Obviously, we're in a multi-manufacturer series with 2 different classes, being GS and ST, so there's a lot of discrepancies in speed in different places. So it's a lot of just learning where our car is better than other cars and how you can take advantage of that. So I think it's just about getting some seat time and getting comfortable around other traffic in the racing. I think that's the biggest thing I'll take into tomorrow.
You share something in common with your co-driver over there, co-teammate there, Liam Dwyer. Your brace is made by the same company that manufactured his leg. Do you think that your bionic nature helps you in racing?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually just found out a few months ago that Liam, one of his legs, is made by OSSUR as well. And I use an OSSUR brace to control my foot drop. I have foot drop from an injury I had in 2010 from playing football, where basically I can't articulate my ankle very well. I can't pull it up and things like that. So I wear this brace that fits inside my driving shoe and kind of on my shin pretty well that keeps my leg or my ankle locked at 90 degrees. So I'm able to have better control over where I can place it and stuff, and allows me to articulate the pedals a bit better and things like that. So, yeah, definitely without that brace, I really wouldn't be able to do what I love doing, and it's cool to share that, you know, Liam and I are, you know, benefactors of the same company and able to do what we do because of their product.
How does driving the Mazda MX-5 compare to the other racing you've done?
honestly, most of my racing has been in a Mazda platform. I've driven a lot of the different sort of MX-5s in different iterations and different series. The ST car is the quickest of the bunch in a straight line. We have a little bit more straightaway speed than the MX-5 Cup car that I'm accustomed to. And overall, the car is a bit faster just in terms of straightaway speed and the speed we can carry into the corner. But the car still has the same characteristics. It's very lightweight and nimble compared to our competition. So we're really good under brakes and into the corners compared to the heavier cars. There's maybe a little bit more horsepower that are better down the straightaway, but we can really eat them up under braking and into most corners.
What race are you most looking forward to this year?
Honestly, Sebring is one of my favorite tracks. It always has been. I really enjoy the history here. You know, you're racing on the same tarmac that, you know, there's tons of history. The 12-hour race is always really quite cool. Another one of my favorites is going, especially in these cars, to Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, just because the car is so strong there. It's a spiritual home of Mazda, and, you know, we always have a really good showing because the cars really handle quite well there with the lack of straightaways and tons of fast sweeping corners. So it's the car is a real joy to drive there, and we always, a Mazda MX-5 always has good success there.
And well, I'd like to throw it out to my co-host, Michael Mullally, who has a couple of questions for you as well.
Awesome.
First of all, just out of curiosity, is your daily driver a Mazda as well?
One of them is, but my daily driver is actually a Subaru BRZ. But we have my family has a couple of cars. The one I have at college actually is a Subaru BRZ, so not a Mazda.
If given the chance to race any track in the world, which track would you choose and why?
That's a pretty tough one. I would say probably the Nürburgring in Germany. It's kind of like, you know, the holy grail of racetracks in the world. It's got every sort of corner you could ever imagine, and it's got tons of history, and it's 14 miles long as well. So, yeah, I would have to say if there was one track that I could get to and race and in my lifetime, it would be the Nürburgring for sure.
On average, in a single season, how many races do you participate in, and which races do you most look forward to?
So we do about, on average, probably 12 races per season, and we get the opportunity, and it's pretty cool to go to all these cool venues like Sebring and Road Atlanta, racing on the 12-hour weekends and the bigger weekends with IMSA. So Sebring is one of my favorite race weeks. It really is an entire week. We're here from Wednesday through Saturday. So it's a huge event, tons of fans that are really passionate about the sport, and it's really quite cool to see. So Sebring is definitely one of my favorites as well, as Mazda Raceway, one of my favorite tracks for sure. Also a really cool destination point. You know, being in Monterey, California, it's so beautiful out there, and the track is really cool. Again, one of my favorites. And then also, I think Road Atlanta at the end of the year for Petit Le Mans is another really cool one. It's a longer endurance race, very historic, brings out a lot of people as well. So I would say those three are probably my three favorites.
And where do you see your racing career in the next couple of years?
Right now, on the path that I sort of am, I'd like to, you know, solidify a kind of a career in sports car racing. So right now, I have good traction with Mazda and the program that we have going right now. I've been lucky to be a part of their development ladder system on the Mazda Road to 24 side. They have two parallel programs, one that is a ladder to IndyCar and one that's a ladder to the top level of sports car racing. And right now, I'm on the Mazda Road to 24. So over the last few years, I've been a benefactor of their system and been able to learn a lot and progress. So kind of honestly sticking to the path that I'm on, hopefully can maybe jump up into the WeatherTech series in the next 5 years or so.
And my final question for you this evening is, so other than racing, I mean, obviously you do a lot of that, but how else do you keep yourself involved throughout the racing community?
Honestly, a lot. It's like a big family, and everyone sort of knows everyone, and business within racing sort of connects in other areas. I do a lot of driver coaching as well, so I get to, when I'm not racing on the off weekends, travel around to different racetracks, you know, see friends from far away. You know, we're lucky in racing to have friends from, you know, every inch of the country, sort of everywhere. So I think the whole racing community is really well connected, and it's kind of a big family for sure.
You mentioned the Sebring is a pretty well attended event. How has the attendance been the past few days there? What do you think it'll be this week?
It's been awesome. So I haven't been here. Last time I was here was 2015, and there seems to be a really strong crowd. They rolled in Wednesday, and there's tons of fans already set up. Obviously, you know, the motorhomes line, the outside of turn one and outside of turn 14 all the way down to turn seven. So there's tons of people here already, and I'm sure they'll still be rolling in. And on race day, obviously, fans that are here just for the day will be rolling in. So I would think it's going to be one of the higher attended races that I've been to in the past couple of years, for sure.
Did you get a chance to try out the new the Club 12 restaurant there on turn 12?
No, I haven't yet. We've been pretty busy here. Honestly, our weekends are pretty condensed. So arrive at the track early in the morning and leave sort of late at night. So been pretty busy. Hopefully maybe we'll get over there tomorrow night, maybe after the race or sometime over the weekend. But we've been pretty slammed so far, but it's been a lot of fun.
Well, good luck in the race tomorrow, and thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Once again, that was Robbie Foley. Fans can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at FoleyRacingRFR. Well, we've got a little bit of a break before our next guest hits the airwaves, so let's go ahead and listen to one of our selections from Ron Pastana and the crew. This is Devil in Your Helmet.
About your race car, you sure look bent. Will you be here next week? And are we still friends? I really didn't mean it. It was a racing deal. I got a little too close. It got a little too real. Then you checked up in the corner and I tapped you in the rear. You was spinning somewhere and it's all so clear. There's a devil in your helmet. Who's on tonight?
Devil in your helmet.
Devil in your helmet. Giving bad advice.
Devil in your helmet.
It's been a good day so far. I put her in the show. Sitting nice and pretty outside front row. Two laps later, baby's on a rail, going for the lead with the devil on my tail. Then wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, where'd they all go? Late break, burn, turn, there's the wall. No, please not the radiator, please not the clip. You may be the savior, but here's a little tip. Well, there's a devil in your helmet, who's on tonight? Devil in your helmet, giving bad advice. Put her on the trailer, take her to the shop. Lay in bed, toss and turn, well, shouldn't I not? Plan a little payback, plan a little hell. Y'all shake your hand, pal, but only time will tell. If there's a devil in your helmet, who's on tonight?
Devil in your helmet.
Devil in your helmet. Giving bad advice.
Devil in your helmet.
Devil in your helmet. Well, so the story goes. Now everybody knows. And now everybody knows.
Once again, that was Devil in Your Helmet by Ron Poussin and the Pit Crew, and I figured that would be a great segue into our next session, which will be a little bit about the altercation between Kyle Busch and Joey Logano this past weekend. And there's been a lot of online discussion. We plan to have a little bit of a call-in segment on here, but we didn't get a lot of response, unfortunately. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about how it all went down last weekend. What's your opinion of the fight that happened after the race?
Well, my opinion on the fight itself is it was childish. I mean, I know, like, people get tempers, and I know especially during races people get really heated, but Kyle Busch is a good driver, and if he legitimately felt that what Joey did was intentional, and I mean, really, Joey Logano's the only one that knows if it was or wasn't, then he should just take that anger with him to the next race and just beat him on the racetrack, not like, you know, with fists like he tried, but he should just take that to the next race and beat him then. I think that would look way better than getting out of your car and walking over and trying to punch someone out.
That does make sense, and I think that there'll probably be a thing in the future where there might be a little bit of a confrontation between them on the track as well, sort of like what Matt Kenseth had happened during last season. I wouldn't be surprised at all if something like that happened. I'm a little bit surprised, however, that NASCAR chose to ignore it. I know that they ignored it in part because they weren't sure what to do, in part because it actually helps the ratings, that sort of thing. That's another issue altogether. But there was a great picture of Kyle Busch bleeding down his face there as he's walking away from the altercation. That's something that people have been talking about all week. I know I've heard several people, some of which have recently. In future races. In a little way, it's good for NASCAR, and in some ways, it's bad. It's one of those racing deals, and sort of one of those boys have at it type thing that Darrell Waltrip was talking about years ago. And it seems like that's what NASCAR's opinion is of it as well.
Yeah, well, especially since the incident happened on the racetrack. Then the race is over and you're just going to go over and punch someone because you're assuming, essentially. I don't know. And I think that NASCAR not handing out penalties, and I think both of them should have been penalized, in my opinion, because, you know, they're not innocent. Like, Kyle Busch started it and Joey's Pit Crew ended it. So, I mean, they're both guilty, and I think they both should have got penalized. But, like you said, I don't know. I think NASCAR is kind of just letting it go because of what you said. Yes, the ratings. But I think essentially it's going to kind of bite them in the end because there's a lot of people that feel they should have been penalties. But then, you know, if there would have been penalties, people would have said, oh, there shouldn't have been penalties. So I guess it's a 50-50 thing, really.
Have you ever seen anything like that happen in any of the races you've been in? I'm sure you probably have.
Oh, yeah. Like, once a weekend, every weekend, literally. People get really, like, tempered, and, you know, and it's just local, like, my racing is just local racing too, which blows my mind. Like, you're going to go over and punch someone in the face because, you know, you lost a $20 trophy. Like, I can understand, like, you know, NASCAR is a little different. I mean, they're racing for, like, you know, they're racing for money, basically. And so, I mean, it's quite a lot different. So I kind of find that, like, the local racing, when they go over and punch each other out, is a little more ridiculous because, you know, you're racing for a $20 trophy and that guy just hit you, so now you're going to go over and punch him in the face. Like, let's grow up, people. And it's another thing, too, like, they're supposed to be examples, you know, and that's, like, how I feel like the local tracks too. Like, yeah, I mean, I had moments where I got pissed off, and yeah, I would have loved to slap this one girl in the face, but I did not, because, you know, little kids and other people go to those racetracks, and they have their favorite drivers and stuff, and you're essentially an example for that little kid, and if you can't show sportsmanship, then that little kid, you know, I don't know. I just think all around it's not great to be childish, and people should really grow up.
It'd be better if they actually whacked each other with the $20 trophies. That would be more fun. Like, for a better picture.
That would be a lot more entertaining.
There you go. Our next guest this evening is Glenn McGee, dubbed Mazda's virtual to reality driver. Mazda and Glenn McGee have made motorsports history in 2016, becoming the world's first esports pro gamer turned factory backed pro race car driver. After competing against elite Mazda Club Racing champions and drivers from SCCA and NASA, McGee emerged as the outright winner of the event, earning a $100,000 Mazda scholarship to compete as a Mazda factory driver in the 2016 Battery Tender Global Mazda MX-5 Cup Series, presented by BF Goodrich Tires. Now, it will be a few weeks until the Mazda Global Mazda MX-5 Cup Series takes to the track, but we're pleased that he's decided to come on the program this evening. We've had him on several times before, and he's a great guest. He'll be on in about a minute and a half or so. So, who are you looking forward to seeing this weekend in Sebring? You're going to be watching that race at all?
I actually have a lot of stuff going on this weekend, so I probably won't get to watch really any of the racing except for probably like the highlight reels. So, yeah, I probably won't get to keep up on it this weekend, but what about you?
I'll actually be in Sebring on Saturday, so I'll be one of the day trip guys heading up there about 7 o'clock in the morning. It's about, I think it's 99 miles from here up to the track, so that's about 2 hours, something like that, and because it's a lot of it's really small, little dinky roads in the middle of the state, and we'll probably be up there till maybe till 7, maybe till 8, I don't think we'll make the entire race because it's done at 10 p.m. It's a 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. race. So it should be a pretty good race, though. We haven't been to Sebring in a few years. Last year we did the Gator Nationals at the in Gainesville, the NHRA event, which is also taking place this weekend, which I kind of think is stupid because they shouldn't really compete against each other, but that's a different story anyway. But it should be a pretty good race. There'll be a few different cars than there were this past race there, the 24-hour race. There'll also be, there's been a lot of events there. As the previous guest, as Robbie Foley was saying, there's got racing all day tomorrow. They had a race today. The T3 cars were racing today. So, and yesterday they had practice and stuff. So I'd say it's quite an event. Never been there for more than just the one day, but it is a something to see anyway, and it's a great, great historic event, so should be lots of fun. Plus the track there, they do a lot of testing for IndyCar and that sort of stuff, so it's kind of cool to see. It's an old World War II era bomber base is what basically the racetrack is. It's a really, really thick concrete base with some tie-down things would cause some bumps, and they've got the interconnected runways. It's really, really an interesting layout for the track. As I said, we're standing by for Glenn McGee to call in. He should be calling in any second now, and we're holding on for a few more seconds. While we're holding on, what's your next race you're going to be competing in? I know your local track's closed. There's been other local tracks around the area that have closed there. So where are you going to be traveling to next?
Um, Well, we're hoping to get our car ready to go race a race in Hermiston eventually. Mm-hmm. I have potentially the opportunity to go race an Acura Integra at Wenatchee up with their mini stocks, which I might do just because Wenatchee is a lot faster track than Ephrata, and it's really a beautiful track, so I might try that one. But April 2nd, there's this thing called Race Wars that I'm thinking about taking my street car up to participate in. And then April 20-something, there's an event at Pacific Raceways that I also might take my street car up to participate in. So there's a couple racing events going on around here, and the seasons are starting to kick off. So, I don't know, kind of just depends on timing.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it goes for most of the racing thing. It all depends on how much your schedule flows out and what you can figure out. I think it's time for you to invest $10,000 and go sports car racing. That's what you need to do.
That would be something different, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I was kind of surprised to actually see that sort of thing, but apparently that's the way it goes for the sports car racing, and that's really a decent deal for the full weekend from what I've seen, because races like the IMSA races, if you're going to race a prototype there, you have to bring your own sponsor. And in some cases, it might be more than $100,000 you have to bring, instead of just $10,000. So there's a lot of money involved in racing now. In some cases, it's way too much, and there's not as many sponsors, and it's just not necessarily a very good thing. And with that happy note, let's go ahead and welcome Glenn McGee back to the program. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Thanks for coming back on again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be back on. It's been a little while.
Yeah, a little while. I know your season doesn't get underway for a little while anyway. So how's your off season?
April 21st. It's been good. It was a little more relaxed than last season. You know, we started my rookie season last year, so I was with my team Six Sideways, and we put in a lot of miles leading up to the season. I think I drove more, obviously, so I'm, you know, the virtual to reality sort of driver, mm-hmm. but I think I drove more in real life that mm-hmm. year than on the simulator, which is really odd. But this year has been good. I've started coaching now, so I coach actually online simulators remotely, and I also coach in real life, so I've been doing a lot of that, and just recently getting back into the car and starting to focus on my driving for the year. But it's been really nice.
And as we stated a second ago, you've now entered the pinnacle of auto racing, as you're within one show of tying our guest record of 4 appearances currently held by Tristan Nunez. Does this honor mean that you're bound to the prototype in the future as well?
Oh, that's a great honor. I didn't realize I was that close to him. I'm trying to catch Tristan on all accounts. He's, Tristan's the youngest sports car champion in the world, and he's won the Walter Hayes Trophy, and, you know, he's been this really amazing driver and role model for me. And, yeah, I think, that's the goal. We're trying to... You know, I think Mazda and all the fans are really interested in taking this virtual to reality concept and the virtual reality driver all the way up to the top echelons of racing, which would be, you know, some of that would be the Mazda prototype. So hopefully being on your show brings me some good luck in that journey.
How do you feel about the change in the sanctioning body for the MX5 series this year?
About the what now?
The change in the sanctioning body.
Oh, yeah. So, we've had a big change up. So, you know, the MX5 Cup is now the global MX5 Cup. And we were running since, I think, 2006 with SCCA Pro. And we recently, our series has recently been sanctioned under IndyCar, well, the Mazda Road to Indy. specifically, and we actually do have some sanctioning under IndyCar as well. So, you know, that's been pretty interesting because I have to go through all my licensing again at the level that IndyCar scrutinizes drivers at. So, you know, I was trying to explain to them how, yeah, I play video games and now I race cars. Is that, can I have my license? But, you know, it's a lot more going on there. But no, we're really excited about it. I think everybody's excited. So now we tour with Indy. So we'll be at all the big races. You know, I'm excited about the Grand Prix of Toronto and, you know, just touring with this great series. And Anderson Promotions runs the Mazda Road to Indy. So that would include all of the Mazda Road to Indy ladder systems. So it would be the USF 2000, the Pro Mazda, and the Indy Lights cars. So now they have the MX5 Cup cars, our series, under there, and they do a really fantastic job as far as promoting all the drivers, all the partners. The races are covered really well, and we're just really excited. I mean, I think the venues are going to be bigger. The fans, you know, will be more, which we had a lot, you know, at the events we went to, and I think the coverage will just, you know, it'll give us access to teams and drivers that we wouldn't have to have before. So it's really good for all of us drivers' career, and it's good for the fans and just putting on a good show and just reaching more people. So, yeah, we're all excited about it.
You mentioned this briefly a few times, but what's it like going from being the fastest Mazda online driver in the world to a real Mazda factory driver?
It's pretty cool. It's cool. It's been, you know, it's been a transition. I've tried not to make things too big in my head, you know, when we're at these real races, and I try and approach everything really like it would be a simulator race. The simulator competition is actually extremely high because, you know, you figure the barrier for entry is so low. All you need is a console or a PC and a steering wheel, and you're in the races. So the talent level is very high, but I found in real life, certainly in Mazda's programs, they do a really great job of giving access to drivers, you know, making it the barrier for entry as low as possible. So the talent level is actually extremely high. And I've been really pleased with it. I think the transition for me has been beyond my expectations, but the competition has been extremely hard, and I really enjoyed the challenge of that. But, no, it's been smooth in a lot of ways, but, you know, obviously some tough things. I actually had a big incident, my second event at Watkins Glen. We were racing in the rain, and a car in front of me had spun while I was making a pass on another car, and he came back on track and collected the both of us and hit him pretty hard and got a little bit of spinal compression from that, which, you know, I recovered from fine, but, you know, throughout the year it was kind of reminding me, like, oh, okay, this stuff's real, you know. So I mean, that was the only, like, big shocker, but yeah, it's been really smooth, beyond my expectations, and you know, a lot of the stuff I've learned from virtual driving happens in real life. I'm looking for how I approach the races are the same way, how I approach the other drivers is the same way, so, you know, I try to find out who are the drivers I can race real hard with, and who are the drivers you have to look out for, or who can you pressure in a certain way, or, you know, sort of outgame and things like that. So a lot of it's transitioned over really well. And, you know, it's just those little things, just the feel for the tires, which fortunately I, you know, have, and just, you know, all the real life stuff that you have to learn. But no, it's been really, really good.
And what are your goals for this year?
So, you know, I'm out of my rookie year now, so, you know, it'll be my second year as a professional race car driver. I'm in the MX5 Cup, the Global MX5 Cup, and I actually have some other opportunities coming up that I'd love to talk to you about, but I'm not in a position where I can say anything about it yet. But I think, you know, we're just looking to, with all of our partners, to keep growing this virtual to reality concept and see how far we can take, you know, this journey from being, you know, essentially a video gamer all the way up to the top echelons. Again, I'll be in the Mazda MX-5 Cup again. And I think we left that series setting, you know, lap records you know, getting hard charge awards and fighting at the front and leading races. So I think we can start off the season hoping to – I feel very confident about running up front and getting wins and going for the championship. So that's my main goal for the MX-5 Cup. And then we'll have some extra events that we're doing this year that I can't announce yet, but yeah, I'm looking to keep building myself as a driver throughout the year.
Well, thank you very much. Now let me throw you out to Michael Mullally, who has a few questions for you as well.
Oh, great.
So first of all, how would you describe last year's racing season as a whole?
Well, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was, you know, the whole thing was surreal, you know, just because if you think about it, a year before that, I was more or less sitting on my sofa, you know, dreaming about being a racing driver too. Actually going at the racetracks, I would sleep at the racetrack and just really took in the whole environment, all the fans, all the people, all the other drivers, you know, the team owners and, you know, the big, you know, Mazda sort of has it's sort of like a Mazda family. All the drivers that drive with Mazda is very family oriented. So, but I think it was successful. I mean, again, it was beyond any of my expectations from a driving point of view. We went from, you know, in a field that saw 56 entries before the season was done. We typically have a 45 plus field. You know, I finished in a top 10 in my first race and was leading by my second race, leading races. So from a driving point of view, I think it was very successful. And just from you know, fulfilling my dreams that I've, you know, and many gamers have dreamed about going to real life and racing. I think, you know, it's just been a dream come true. It was just surreal the whole time. So, yeah, it was good.
What are some things you're going to take with you from 2016 heading into an entirely new season?
I definitely have learned to not be aggressive when I need to be aggressive and be smart when I need to be smart and just play out the races a little longer using those tools. And I'm definitely going to rely on that a lot more. You know, I think we got ourselves in trouble, you know, just being aggressive when we weren't supposed to be aggressive and you know, not backing it off when we should have. You know, nothing major, but it really, in the MX-5 Cup, it's so competitive that, you know, when you make a pass, there's five cars involved, not two cars, and you know, any little mistake you make, you're going to lose from it, and it's just hard to fight up the field. So I have a much better idea of what the other drivers are like, how to approach a race weekend now, and how to temper that aggression versus racing smart. And so I'm definitely going to be using that to my advantage. And you know, my qualifying was very good the first year, but I think I can improve on that, and that helps out an awful lot starting at the front. So I'll be looking to qualify a little bit higher and then race smart, but actually even more aggressive than I was last year, but when I need to be aggressive, you know what I mean?
So you're considered the fastest Mazda driver in the world virtually. What is the top speed you have reached in a race car?
Oh, in real life?
Mm-hmm.
I've been coaching a lot, and I get in some cars that are pretty interesting as far as top speeds. But I've been in the, like, 165 range, I would say. So hoping this year we're going to be getting into some – I have some hopefully some good stuff coming up this year, and it should be pretty interesting, the speeds that we'll be able to get to. But 165, I think, is the most I've been so far. It's not bad.
And lastly, Mazda produces some pretty sweet cars. Which of their several cars would you consider to be the best?
I'm really big on the MX-5 now. I, you know, we all year long, we had what was called the MX-5 Experience Tour. So they would invite, they would take a fleet of the normal, you know, MX-5 car and just sort of parade it around the nation at different track venues. And in, a lot of it was in parking lots and, like, malls and things like that. But we went, we visited some awesome tracks, and we had an unlimited set of tires. So I got really, really intimate with how well you could throw this car around, and it just does whatever you tell it to do, and including if you tell it the wrong thing, but it just really feels like part of you. And yeah, I haven't been that excited by very many cars the last couple of years, and this car has just really gotten me very excited. And it's just a really tossable, fun car that, you know, you just go out and have fun in it, and that, you know, it's just a joy to drive, and that's what I want when I get on the road, is, you know, to really enjoy myself. And it's convertible as well, so you can enjoy the weather if you want to cruise or whatever. So I think out of all those cars, you know, they have some pretty cool SUVs, I think, that have some good utility, and I could take surfing and everything like that. But I think if I had to choose, I would definitely choose the MX-5 just for the fun of it.
Well, we'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program tonight, and wish you lots of luck in the MX-5 series and whatever other opportunities you have pop up this season. We look forward to talking to you again in the future.
I appreciate it, fellas. Good being on here. Hope
and
I see you
much.
Soon. I hope I beat Tristan's record. It's going to be my new my new goal.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks. All right. Once again, that was Robbie McGee. We'll be racing in the MX-5 series again this year, the Global MX-5 Cup. He also has some other opportunities in the future. They sound like there could be some prototype opportunities, but he's not at liberty to discuss them right now. Our final guest of the evening is Justin Fontaine. Fontaine, who suffered a back injury after crashing during the ARCA race at Daytona International Speedway last month, was transported to a local hospital following that wreck. They cleared in the closing laps of the season opener. There, he was diagnosed with a mild compression fracture of his L1 vertebrae and was hospitalized for further evaluation. Fontaine, of Fletcher, North Carolina, was involved in a three-car crash with five laps remaining in his first ARCA start.
His car hit the outside wall, covered by a safer barrier, and flipped onto its lid as the car skidded down the front stretch. The number 33 remained upside down as it slid down the apron. Safety crews, after determining Fontaine was responsive, flipped the car and had to cut the roof to extricate him. The race was called due to time constraints and the need for repairs to the safer barrier.
Now, Fontaine is preparing to re-enter the racing field in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, and we are pleased to welcome him back to the program. Oh, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you. I know you've probably been asked this more times than you care to remember this year, but can you tell us a little bit about what it was like to fly through the air in Daytona?
well, to be fair, it wasn't as much of a flying through the air as it was a slide. but I can tell you, it did not feel as cool as I think it looked on TV.
Go ahead.
It was definitely more uncomfortable than I would have thought flipping over was going to be. I had never flipped up to that point, so it was an uncomfortable experience, to say the least.
And what lessons, aside from trying not to flip the car over in the future, will you be bringing from Daytona that will help you for the rest of the season?
I definitely learned a lot about, you know, speedway racing and the competition, you know, in the ARCA series that you know, I'm probably going to be working with later in the year, you know, as well as getting prepared for going back into the truck series, hopefully later this season. But just figuring out, you know, the dynamics and the kind of the feel of what speedway racing is, that was big, you know. And I think we showed a lot of strength in the later stages of that race. You know, we were running in the top 10 when the wreck, you know, happened, and I think we were in position for a top five, and you know, we definitely, I think, learned a lot about just, you know, what drafting, you know, feels like for me, and what I now have an idea of what I'm good at over at Daytona and what I need to work on. So I think we have a really good baseline for at least for speedway racing moving forward.
I know a lot of your fans probably really love the picture that you sent out from the hospital with the thumbs up and all that. How are you feeling now?
Right now it's kind of I'm kind of in and out of soreness. You know, just it really depends on things as simple as, you know, how I slept the night before, or, you know, how I got out of bed in the morning. You really, it can, that can dictate a lot of how I feel during the day. You know, most of the pain is in my lower back. And I kind of understand my limits now. I can walk for about 20, 30 minutes on a flat ground before I start to get sore. I have to just make sure that I'm within that time and I can, you know, do some stuff. But, you know, it's not bad overall. I think it's slowly getting better, and we're making steady progress. So hopefully in a few months' time, I'll be out of the brace and at least doing some physical therapy to get back to the track.
You answered that my next question a little bit in your previous answer, but what are your plans to get back behind the wheel?
Right now we're kind of at a play-it-by-ear stage. Our tentative plan is to be back late in the summer.
Okay.
But we have a doctor follow-up next week, and we'll know more about, you know, the progress of the injury, you know, how is it healed, and, you know, if it's ahead of schedule, that's great. If it's right on schedule, then I'll be in the brace a little bit longer. So we just got to get an idea of kind of where it's at right now. I'm definitely going to, you know, knowing that it's a back injury and how much the back is critical to anything that you do, you know, in your life. So I definitely want to make sure that when I come back, everything is 100% healed and strong, so that I'm the best driver I can be when I get back to the racetrack.
I know you went to the track for the truck race. How different is it to be there at the track as basically an observer, as opposed to being behind the wheel of the truck?
Well, fortunately, I have spent, you know, the better part of my life as an observer, being a race fan. I started my racing career relatively late compared to guys like, you know, Harrison Burton or Chase Elliott, you know, who started when they were, you know, 4 or 5 years old. I started a lot later than that. So I was a spectator, you know, in the very beginning of my career, and you know, was that kid up in the grandstands and things like that. So I was pretty used to that feel. And I will say, after experiencing, you know, racing and being able to race a little bit professionally, I was definitely wanting to get in one of the trucks. I was hoping I could sweet talk somebody to let me drive, but nobody was taking it. I think the brace was a dead giveaway. I was stuck on the silence for that. But, you know, it was nice to be down there. You know, AM Racing, allowed me to come down and be a part of their team for the day and watch. And it was great to see my teammate Austin Wayne Self get a second place finish out of that, and just to be, there supporting the team that took a chance on me was great, and I was really excited to do that.
Well, let me go ahead and throw it out to Michael Mullally, who has a couple of questions for you as well.
All right.
So, other than what seemed to be quite a vicious crash at Daytona, how was your first ARCA race experience?
I honestly thoroughly enjoyed it, and everything from the race itself to the weekend leading up to it was great. You know, the ARCA series, I've been watching it for years, you know, previous, but I'd never gotten a chance to drive in it. That was my first ARCA start ever, and the management of the series, the officials in the series, the drivers in the series, everybody was really, really great to work with, and you know, on track during the race, I felt like I learned a lot. I made some obvious mistakes that I need to work on, but I also think that we had a lot of strong moments, especially towards the end. Like I said earlier, we were well within the top 10 when the wreck, you know, happened. So and the wreck happened about 5 to go. So I think that we could have made our way up to the top 5 had things played out a little differently. But we showed a lot of strength, I think, overall. So I'm really encouraged by the results. Overall, and I think that when we come back, you know, hopefully next year, we'll be even stronger than we were this year.
So you said that you spectated for a while before you began racing. Did you know that you wanted to race, or was it kind of just like, I'd maybe enjoy doing that one day?
Well, you know, the whole racing kind of bug bit me back when in 2005. I was at home with my brother and my dad and one of my brother's friends, and we were all just, you know, hanging out, and we were flipping through the channels, and we kind of stumbled on the Bristol Night Race that was going on that year, and I fell in love with racing from that moment, onward. I knew that was something that I not only enjoyed watching, but it was something that I wanted to do, and it was. It took another couple of years to convince my dad to let me do it. But once we started, you know, it just evolved into this thing that, you know, is hopefully going to become a full-time career, you know, with, you know, hopefully the sponsorship, you know, plays out, and then we can make this into something that I do as a career. It's been something that's been building over the course of, you know, about 10 years now. And, it's from the moment I saw it on TV, I knew it was what I wanted to do.
Now, your injury aside, do you think that weekend at Daytona set a good pace for you and the rest of the season? I mean, with how you performed and everything?
I do think. I mean, I think it was – I had an overall positive experience, and I think that we were good, you know. And I obviously, you never want to end a race in a wreck. Let alone an injury or anything like that. But with everything that happened that weekend and everything that happened during the race, I think that the things that we took away from Daytona will be really, really positive down the line.
And my final question for you is, I mean, so you went from not being really sure about racing until you came across it. So what advice would you give to someone looking to get into the sport, but they're not exactly sure how to do so?
Well, if you're in that position that I was, and you're on the outside, but you know you enjoy it, you know you want to try to be a part of it, the best advice that I can give to any young person is you know, research and network and figure out kind of what is the best entry point. You know, for me it was quarter midgets and then mini cups. But for everybody it's a little bit different, you know, and you know, just kind of sit down and see how other guys did it, you know, look at how Harrison Burton did it and see if you can use some of that to and translate that into something you might want to do. But you can never undervalue networking and getting to know people, because you just never know who you're going to meet in this sport. I've learned that over the course of my career, that you run into a guy at an airport and he turns out to be, you know, an engineer for a cup team, and you just never really know. So always be talking to people, always be researching, and you know, hopefully at some point you run across the right person or the right series or anything that will, you know, help you get involved.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight, and hope you have a very successful recovery, and we look forward to seeing you in the truck series later in the year.
Thank you very much. It was good to be here.
Thank you, and have a nice evening.
All right, thank you.
Once again, that was Justin Fontaine, who'll be doing some racing in the ARCA series more than likely later in the year. He is also scheduled to be in the truck series. As we discussed with Austin Wayne Self, Justin Fontaine was slated to be the primary driver for the AM Racing truck this season, but the incident there in Daytona has changed his plans. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. In a few moments, I'll be publishing a few different articles about the upcoming weekend at Sebring. I've also done some earlier in the week. There's also going to be a few more articles about the Speedway or the Stadium Super Truck Series. They're going to be online tonight. So so be sure to check those out in the racing news section of SpeedwayDigest.com. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeach.happening.com.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again on April 6th in the Thunderdome as once again we discuss the major issues in the world of modern auto racing.
See you next month.